This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is my joy to welcome you to West End United Methodist Church this morning. I'm especially glad to welcome you if you're visiting us for the first time today. We hope that you feel welcome and have a chance to meet some of the friends sitting around you. One of the ways that we can meet and greet one another is to make sure we sign in on the registration pads. Hopefully they're making their way down the row and back again. And if you notice the names of the friends sitting with you on the pew, if there's a name you don't recognize, it's an opportunity to meet someone new this morning. So I invite you to do that. If you are visiting with us and would like to know more about our congregation, you can exit through this door at the end of the service, and there's a welcome center right there and a gathering place that we call Reed Hall. And there will be friends and Drew ministers there with blue name tags to greet you and to answer any questions that you might have. Also in Reed Hall this morning, there are opportunities to sign up to volunteer for Trunk or Treat, which is our first annual event. This is open to the community. It's sponsored by our preschool, and it's a great way for the folks who live in this neighborhood to see the people of West End and for us to welcome them. So if you'd like to volunteer to have a trunk or to bring candy or work one of the games, you can sign up in Reed Hall after the service. I wanted to let you know we typically have lunch with college students after the service at 11 o'clock, but since it's fall break, there will be no lunch today, but there will be next week. Also, right after this service, if you're interested in knowing more about our Guatemala mission trip, you can go to Lisa Guak's office. It's on the third floor. I can't remember the room number, but someone will help you find your way if you want to know more about that. This evening at 5 o'clock, we have our monthly Taze service. It will be in the fourth story theater tonight at 5 o'clock because they have set up the prayer labyrinth. And that labyrinth is already set up, and it will be available until 1 o'clock today if you'd like to go upstairs after this service and pray the labyrinth, or come back at 5 o'clock and participate in that Taze worship service this evening. Finally, I also want to remind you, next Sunday at 5 o'clock, we have our Choral Evensong service, which is another opportunity to invite friends and folks in the community to come and experience worship and people here at West End. So we hope you can be there and perhaps bring a friend. So this morning, we're continuing to walk through some of Jesus' parables. And our parable this morning is a rather difficult one. And so I invite you to bring your complete self, your mind, your heart, your life, open it up to this challenging parable of Jesus and see what word of invitation there might be in there for you and for our community. Let's worship together.
Oh, Today, let us hear the invitation of Christ. God welcomes all with hospitality and love.
May you find family, home, and hope in the love of God.
As members of the body of Christ and inheritors of Jesus' gospel of grace and love, we turn humbly to God and confess the ways in which we are prone to squander such a great gift. God, you welcome us with hospitality and love, but we have not embraced you with our whole hearts. We allow ourselves to be driven by fear, desire, and bitterness, instead of loving kindness, generosity, and peace. Teach us how to walk your path. Let us learn to respond to your invitation, to live the life you offer us, and to know what it is to be redeemed. Accept Christ's gift of unending and overflowing forgiveness. Thanks be to God who welcomes everyone and leads us in the ways of love. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange with one another signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you. Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, may we hear with joy what you say to us today. A lesson from the Gospel according to Matthew. Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who've been invited, look, I've prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered. Everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet.' Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guest, he noticed a man who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.' The word of God for the people of God."
Thank you.
seated. Normally we have children coming up, yay! I know it's fall break, but I'm so glad y'all are here this morning. Good morning. Oh, good. Keep coming down. Great. I am so glad to see all of you this morning, and if you've been on fall break, I hope it's been restful and fun. We heard a story that Jesus told a few minutes ago that's kind of a hard story, and there's a lot about it that's hard to understand. But one of the things that I hear in this story is that there's a big party going on, and that sometimes life with God is like being invited to a great big party. Have you ever had a birthday party? I imagine most of you probably had a birthday party. I've had two or three myself. Well, imagine what it would feel like if you invited all your friends to your birthday party and then nobody came. And you had the cake ready, and you had pizza ready, and you had gift bags all made up, and nobody came. That's sort of what happens in this story. There's a king who has this great big wedding party for his son, and the people he invited don't want to come. But then he says, well, I'll just invite everybody then. And in some ways, that's like God. God wants us to come to this great, wonderful party that God is having all the time to celebrate God's love and to be filled with joy. And we're invited, and everybody's invited. So what this story tells me is that I want to respond to God's invitation. I want to say yes to God. I love you too, and I want to be part of your kingdom. Let's pray together. Gracious and loving God, you love us so much, and you love everybody so much. You want us to come and be with you and experience the joy and fun of being in relationship with you, like a big party. So help us to love you back, to pray and to love other people and to do everything we can to live our lives like you want us to live. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, y'all can go back and sit with your parents or grandparents or friends you came with. And I will tell y'all as you make your way back to your seats, this was a really hard children's message for me this morning, because this is a really hard parable, even for us grown-ups. Earlier this summer, Nancy Jones, who's a member of our church, gave me this little book, Stories Jesus Told, and it's a children's book about some of the parables that Jesus told. There's the Good Samaritan, there's the woman and the lost coin, the man who built his house on sand and on rock. And so when I came across this parable for this Sunday morning that was assigned in the lectionary readings, I looked in this book to see if there was a children's version of it. Surprise, there's not. No luck there. There's no way around it. This is, at best, a PG-13 parable. With the level of revenge and violence that takes place in this parable, it's really hard to make sense of it as children and as adults. But I've read this parable over and over again, and I just wanted to say, what? This story does not make any sense. First of all, there's a king who wants to throw this grand royal wedding for his son who's getting married. And nobody wants to come? What would it be like to be invited to a royal wedding? And weddings back in these days were not just a few hours long. I mean, these things went on for days. And to be invited to the palace to come and feast on the king's food for a week or more, it was sometimes the only opportunity people would have had to eat meat, was when there was a party thrown by the king or the leader. Why in the world would anybody, much less all the invited guests, refuse to come to a royal wedding? It doesn't make sense. On top of that, why would these invited guests, or some of them at least, decide to kill the slaves who are bringing that message and invitation to them? It's totally unrealistic. Doesn't make sense at all. And as if that's not enough, when the king finds out that these invited guests have refused his invitation After he's prepared the feast, and it's like, you know, the beef tenderloin is being pulled out of the oven, in that moment that it's all ready, he decides to send troops and kill all those people who rejected him and burn their city down. The whole city? Even those innocent people who live in the city who weren't invited to the wedding? This doesn't make sense. In reaction to the rejection, the king then just invites everybody, sends his servants out into the streets, just bring everybody you can into the wedding feast. And then we think, okay, whew, now the parable's over, but it's not. The king comes in and finds this guest who's not wearing a tuxedo. And so the king gets mad and kicks him out, not just out into the streets, but into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. So at this point, even though I said I was going to be preaching on the parables throughout the fall, I was very tempted either to pick something else to preach on, one of the other lectionary readings, there's a psalm or one of Paul's epistles, or to just jump over to Luke's gospel, where this parable is much easier to understand and to take, or to just pick a little piece of the parable and preach on that. But I've gotten to know you pretty well over the past couple of months, and you're a smart congregation. And if I did that, I know that half of you coming out the door would say, now wait a minute, what about all this? So for better or for worse, this is the parable that's been placed in our hands this morning by the lectionary. I don't have any easy answers about it, but I would invite you to come with me on an excavation trip. Let's roll up our sleeves and dig into this parable and bring all our questions, bring everything about it that troubles us, and see if we cannot be blessed by a word from God. After the 8:30 service, someone made the allusion to Jacob wrestling with God in Genesis. Let's wrestle with this parable until it blesses us. So what do we do with a story like this? Well, I think one of the things we experience when we hear this parable, and we talked about it a lot in Bible studies this week, was it just doesn't seem like this king acts like God would act. And I think that's a really important observation to make. I don't think Jesus ever means for us to make an exact connection between what a character in a parable does and what God would do. There's a king, and there's something about this story that teaches us about the kingdom of God. But this revengeful king who kills everybody who rejects him does not sound like the God we know and love and have come to know in Jesus Christ. So let us embrace that belief in a good and loving and merciful God. One of the tools we bring with us when we dig into a hard text like this is our understanding of who God is as revealed in Jesus Christ. So we look at this story through the lens of Jesus. Jesus who said, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Jesus who said, do not answer evil for evil, but respond to evil with good. Jesus who said, when someone strikes you on the cheek, turn and give the other cheek also. Go the extra mile. Jesus who never retaliated against those who rejected him or crucified him, but said instead, forgive them, Father, for they do not know what they are doing. That is the pattern of life and love and mercy that we understand through his life and ministry and teachings. So when we read this parable, we can affirm that that kind of murder is not how God would have us act or respond to those who reject or disagree with us. Another tool we bring with us when we read scripture, especially difficult texts like this, is to look at the context and look at the other places that this story might show up. All of these parables and teachings and healing stories of Jesus were passed down by word of mouth for a long time until people began to write them down. And some of you may have heard that most scholars think the Gospel of Mark was written first, and Matthew and Luke each had Mark in front of them as they wrote their Gospels, and they probably had at least one or two other written sources that they had in common as they wrote their Gospels. And it helps us to look at things like this parable in different gospels. This parable also shows up in Luke's gospel. And if you really want to be geeky about this like I am, go home and read this parable in the 14th chapter of Luke and see how they're alike and how they're different. It's only in Matthew's gospel that we have this undertone of wrath and revenge and retaliation. That's not present in Luke's gospel. And it makes us wonder, what was going on in Matthew's community? Why was the story told this way? What is that tone of urgency and judgment underneath it about? Well, we know that in Matthew's church, a lot of those early Christians were being persecuted by the Pharisees. And so there was this sort of antagonism and us versus them that shows up in this parable. We know from the context that Matthew puts this in that Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and the chief priests, and he's almost at the end of his life. So there's this sense of you've been invited, but you're rejecting the invitation. You don't understand what God is doing in the Son. Time is ticking. You need to respond to this invitation to the feast or you're going to miss out. Perhaps that is one explanation for the urgency and the severity of this parable. So I only want to preach 13 to 15 minutes, so I can't explore all the different corners of this parable. But I do want to consider two questions that this parable stirred up in me and perhaps might stir up in you. The first question is, how am I going to respond to the invitation? One of the things that's clear about this parable is that there is an invitation that has been issued and reissued and issued again. Come to the feast, come to the feast, come to the feast. And we have a choice whether we accept that invitation or not. And this little part at the end of the story, there's a man who accepts the invitation, but he's not wearing a wedding robe. If we understand what it was like in those days, it would help us. When you went to a wedding, the host provided your wedding dress. You didn't have to wear your own outfit. It was provided by the host. So if we respond to the invitation of God and we come to the feast, but we're not willing to put on Christ, we're not willing to live as God would have us live and accept the invitation on God's terms, then we're missing the point. So that's the first question. How will you respond to the invitation of God to come into relationship through the Son? The other question is, how will you tell this story? We know how Jesus told the story, how Matthew may have told the story. We have seen throughout history how parables like this have been used to condemn and even sanction violence against those who are not Christian. We don't want to tell the story that way. How do we tell this story? That we've been invited to this great feast with God, and so has everybody else. May we be bearers of that good news that shines through even this difficult parable, to invite all to come to the feast. Amen. One of the things we bring to texts like this is our firm belief in a good, gracious, and merciful God who has been made known to us in Jesus Christ. So each week we stand and affirm our faith together in that God, and I invite you to stand as you're able and join with me in our affirmation of faith found on page 882. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
As we come to a time of prayer, we lift up the joys and concerns of this congregation as an offering to our loving God. If you have a prayer request, you'll find a gray card in the pew racks in front of you where you can indicate that request, and then you can put that card in the offering plate when it's passed down the pews in a few moments. Please be sure to indicate whether you are okay with us sharing that or if you would like to be kept confidential. This morning, we offer sympathy to Cheryl and Alan Patton and their family who are mourning the death of Cheryl's mother, Mildred Cruz, who died at the age of 99 on Monday, October 9th. Services were held on Friday. We also offer our sympathy to John, Elizabeth, Liam, and Lucy Mae McGuire, who are mourning the death of John's father, John O. McGuire Sr., who died Thursday, October 12th in Asheville, North Carolina. We're still waiting to hear about information about the service. As we pray together this morning, when you hear the words, "Hear us, O God," you're invited to respond with the words that are found in your bulletin, "Your mercy is great." Let us now offer to God our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Let us pray for the needs of the world, saying, "Hear us, O God, your mercy is great." That all in our community may know what God is and what is Caesar's, and may have the courage so to live. Hear us, O God. That God will guide our country, its leaders, and its citizens. Hear us, O God. That justice and peace will be the signs of our trust in God. Hear us, O God. That the church may preach the gospel not merely in words, but in the mighty power of the Holy Spirit. Hear us, O God. That each of us, following Jesus, may be truthful, courting no one's favor, but living with simplicity and honesty. Hear us, O God. That all the people in the church may live their faith and labor in love for the poor, the homeless, the imprisoned, the persecuted, and the sick, those recovering from hurricanes, earthquakes, flooding, and fires, that by God's power the suffering of all creation may be relieved. Hear us, O God. That wherever there is violence, we may be enabled to confess our part in allowing this darkness to continue. We have shut our eyes to the bruises and shut our ears to the cries of fear and pain. That your healing may come to all, hear us, O God. That we may remember with gratitude the witness of those who have kept the faith, hear us, O God. Into your hands we place the well-being of all creation, trusting that you see and know the needs of all. Now hear our prayer as we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Because God has given you a great banquet, Let your thanksgiving overflow with joyous giving for the sake of others.
Rejoice, my brothers and sisters. God has prepared a great feast, and you are invited, and all the world is invited. Let us go to bear that news, to wear that news in all that we say and do, and may we go with joy and peace. Amen.